scenario. Good morning, everybody. It's June 9th, 2020, and it's 10 a.m. I hereby call to order the meeting of the Storey County Board of Supervisors. We are originating from the administration building, and public access is being provided via conference call. Also, if at any point you need to speak, particularly during the public forums, you can text 515-451-7293. We'd appreciate that. Before we do the Pledge of Allegiance, I would like to just make one announcement. I think several, you probably know George Floyd is being laid to rest today in Texas after a memorial service there. I was thinking about this morning, and I recalled Dr. King's quote, "The arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice." Sometimes it doesn't seem like the arc is bending, and we all know the arc does not bend on its own. I'd ask you to join with me in a moment of silence to reflect on what we can do individually and collectively to help bend the arc towards justice and to bring safety, peace, and healing to all members of our communities. Thank you. Now, if you would like, please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And as I said earlier, we are holding this meeting via conference call. We are not holding in-person meetings to be open to the public right now because of continuing pandemic and our guidance of having gatherings of no more than 10 people. I would entertain a motion for adoption of today's agenda.
I so move. Second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Kevin?
Aye.
Merck and aye. Agenda adopted. Thank you. Next, we have updates on COVID-19. Are there any updates from staff to be considered today? If not, are there any updates from the supervisors?
The only thing I have is just looking at the Des Moines Register information that says that there were Iowa reports 19 deaths and 260 confirmed cases.
And we just had a second death reported in Storey County.
We did?
Yes, we did.
And our numbers went up from yesterday, one significantly as well. So, okay. Now, I will, did you have any updates?
Not that one, could get somewhere else in the
agenda. Okay, that's fine. Then we'll have open public comment period number one, and that's for the public to address topics on today's agenda. If you do have anything you would like to say, I would ask you to unmute your phone so we can hear you if you have muted.
Christy Krause.
Hi, Christy.
Chuck Winkleblack.
Did you have a comment you wanted to make?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Not at this time.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody who would like to make a public comment? Nobody. Hearing nobody, I will close public comment number one. And now we will have discussion consideration of items brought before the board with requests for immediate action. I know of any. Does anybody have anything for immediate action that isn't already on the agenda? Then we will go on. Agency reports, we have a report submitted from the University Community Child Care. Are there any comments on that? We have been having agencies just submit reports and not necessarily make presentations, but if somebody is on the phone from University Community Child Care, we'd accept we'd be glad to hear from you.
Yes, this is Stacey Lehman from University Community Child Care. I did just log on today to the conference call to see if you had any questions or anything that needed to be answered. Didn't really prepare a presentation other than this submitted report.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in, and I'll ask the supervisors, do you have any questions about the report that has been submitted?
This is Lisa, our supervisor, head of talking to Stacey. I think my only question is I appreciate your report is very detailed. I'm just wondering, with the pandemic, how has that impacted you, and what are you going to do, or what are you looking at as potentially being able to do moving forward?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the report I gave you was just the general numbers. The numbers you're seeing in general have declined a bit this year to years past, and that is as a result of the pandemic. We did end up closing on March 20th, where last day provided care. And so we were closed from March 20th all the way through till June 1st. On June 1st, we did reopen, but we were reopened under limited enrollment. And so we're currently enrolled for 5 classrooms with 8 children in each classroom, working to get a 6th classroom space open with 8 more children in it. That will be the limit that we're able to accommodate right now. We were able to apply for and we're given the Paycheck Protection Program loan, and so that's been a huge help with getting our staff back onto payroll, having them do some work from home, some projects, that communication and interaction with families while we were closed. That was a big help as well.
Thank you.
Excellent. Supervisor Olson, do you have any questions?
I don't. Thank
you. Okay. And thank you. It is a very thorough report. We appreciate it, and we appreciate your work in reopening safely. So thank you very much, Stacey.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to consideration of minutes, we have minutes from the June 2nd meeting. Are there any additions or corrections?
I move approval of the June 2nd minutes.
I second.
Cousin?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Minutes are approved. Consideration of personnel action.
I would move that we approve as presented.
Second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Cousin?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Personnel actions approved. Next is claims. Entertain motion.
I move approval of the 6/11/20 claims as presented.
I second.
Kedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Claims are approved. Then consent agenda, and I've already been notified that we should probably move item 10 to consideration of forms to housing study and needs assessment for Story County Executive Committee. Move that to additional items, and if there's no problem with it, it would become agenda item 15 or number 15, item 4. We put at the end of additional items. Is that something somebody would want to include in a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda with the exception of item 10, which will move to 15-4 on the agenda.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Kedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Approved. And let me make a note and then we'll move on. Okay. Next up, we have, looks like Carla Webb to discuss, public hearing items. There are none. Excuse me. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning, Carla.
This is discussion and consideration of lease renewal with Mary Goody Medical Center.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Good morning. I'm glad to be here. Before you today is consideration for lease renewal with Mary Greeley Medical Center for the property at 124 South Hazel in Ames. This is where the Crisis Stabilization Transitional Living Center services are located. And throughout our conversation today, I'll refer to the services as CSTLC. The CFTLC came about through a partnership with the Story County Board of Supervisors, Mary Greeley Medical Center, and CICS. All three entities contributed financially towards this endeavor. Story County paid up front for remodel costs of $226,035 and an additional $4,398 for a smoking hut, and extended a lease to Mary Greeley of $1 per year for July 2018 through June 2020. CICS reimbursed Story County $225,000 for remodel costs and funded startup costs to Mary Greeley of $79,400. And Mary Greeley contributed an additional $75,000 toward the startup costs. So you can see that this was a great partnership with everybody contributing to it. The TLC services began in October of 18, and the CS services began in January of 19. The TLC is averaging about 5 to 6 clients per day, with the CS services averaging about 1 to 3 clients per month. TLC is funded with MHDS funds only, and the CS is a Medicaid reimbursable service as well as regionally funded. Currently, the CICS administrative team has been in conversation with Mary Greeley regarding trying to increase utilization of crisis stabilization services and increasing bed capacity for this service while looking at reducing the number of beds CICS funds for TLC in an effort to access more Medicaid funding. With that, CICS also has responsibility to develop and fund new core services. The CS services are core services, while the TLC falls in other services that are not considered core. During the next few months, CICS will be assessing community services, determining need for further development or expansion of the community-based services, and continuing conversation with Mary Greeley regarding service needs. We did take a look at financial information provided by Mary Greeley, and we've learned that the CSTLC services are breaking about even before adding in any indirect costs for Mary Greeley. I worked with Sandra, Ethan, and Tim in the County Attorney's Office, Joby and John in Facilities Management, and Supervisor Merkin regarding the proposed lease renewal before you today. And I've also had conversation with Christy Krause at Mary Greeley regarding the renewal. The recommendation is a 6-month lease renewal for $1 while we work through funding, service assessments, potential service development, expansion, and sustainability. This would align with CICS's administrative team's proposed FY21 contract with Mary Greeley for funding of 6 TLC beds per day, and looking at reducing that level of funding in 6 months with more Medicaid-funded services being accessed and developed. Joby is available to provide you today with some additional information regarding potential rent costs if you would like that information as you consider the lease. Also calling in today, I believe, is Christy Krause with Mary Greeley and Russell Wood, who is the CICS Planning Officer and the up-and-coming CEO, if you have any questions for them.
Thank you. Joby, did you have anything you wanted to add?
We got specific analysis come up. Thank you, Congressman. I got a lot of numbers with me. If you have a specific question, I could kind of give you an idea on what the dollar amount would look like if and when we charge rent. You know, I mean, if you'd like me to provide that, I
guess my preference is we're looking at a six-month extension of the lease right now, so that Mary Greeley can get more numbers together related to their costs, correct? Okay. And I remember this happening. I remember sitting first out of the audience and then sitting up here and, you know, voting a couple of things related to this. And the whole purpose here was to try and support transitional services and crisis services. There was a credible need for them. We knew that. And this was a very creative and, I think, effective way to address it through this partnership. So I personally feel that I don't need to hear the numbers now for a six-month extension on the lease. It's a dollar. It'd still be they'll pay us another dollar for another 6 months, and then the new board will come back and revisit it. Well, I guess it'll still be the old board. We'll need to talk in December. Okay, this will be us. But yeah, I don't feel I need to hear a lot of numbers right now, given the fact that this was designed for us to pick up the cost. It was the only way we could help in providing some additional mental services because of the law saying that the county can't spend money directly for mental health. And so that's my feeling about it.
Do you have any questions for Jovi?
No, I don't necessarily. I mean, if you want to provide the numbers, that's fine. The other thing is, depending on Mary Greeley, once they get better actual numbers, you know, some of that may change and stuff. So whether you share it now or share it a few months from now, I guess once Mary Greeley has more sound information, it might be more beneficial for all of us.
Chairman, my only question is, and I assume that we do not pay property taxes, the county doesn't own this property because the rental is nominal, correct?
That is correct, and
okay.
Yeah, you get too early on that, yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
That will be something, and I don't know if you shared this with Christy Krause and Mary Greeley, though, but in the event, if the county would look at charging rent, that we did discover with the lease on the other two properties, our other two properties, that we have to pay taxes. That was a surprise to us of about $16,000 in taxes we got hit with in 2020. We have to pay property taxes. So that's all factored in. If we would charge, we're going to also have to factor into the numbers property taxes.
And I think that the lease in Calhoun rent more than covers the property taxes.
That is correct. With those two group homes, once it was discovered that we are now liable for tax on that, there is the rent, the actual rent, and then we charge an additional for the taxes. So the tenant does pay the taxes on them two properties. They are up to date and current with those payments.
So I guess I'm hearing that we don't need to hear those numbers now, and that makes sense. I'm going to ask Christy and Russell, since she calls on the phone, if you have anything that you want to add.
This is Russell Wood.
Hi, Russell.
Good morning. Just wanted to say that what we're looking at doing and what the administrative team is looking at the utilization of the facility and trying to see if there are barriers to community placement that requires the utilization at the level that it is, and then try to see what we can do to mitigate those barriers. And in the meantime, hope to help bring in different or additional dollars. This is still a good and important program for the region, and so I'm very pleased with Story County Board being supportive of this. And
yeah, this is Christy. Thank you for the opportunity to share information with the Board of Supervisors. We do have some additional financial information available. We have calculated the indirect cost at about $181,000. So Carla said that the program was breaking about even. I think it was demonstrating about a $24,000 positive margin without the indirect. So you can see the impact of the indirect cost. The other piece of financial information that wasn't included in the direct cost was that we're subsidizing the cost of all of the medications to clients at CSTMC. That's about an additional $40,000 cost annually to the program. Also, another comment I would make, we are entertaining, looking at the possibility of changing the level of care at CSTMC to subacute. We're in the process of exploring that. There are only three licensed subacute facilities in the state of Iowa. I have been in touch with two of them, learning more about their programs. I also have been in touch with Deb Dixon at DIA. She is the current overseer, if you may, of subacute services at DIA. So I'm seeking information from her about some of the requirements and standards for subacute level of care. The other comment I would like to make is as recently as in a meeting last week with the Iowa Hospital Association conference presentation regarding access centers, discussion about crisis levels of care, subacute levels of care, many providers reporting at that meeting that Medicaid is just virtually not reimbursing for those levels of care, even though they are authorized services for reimbursement for and by Medicaid. So the MCOs, there's a lot of struggle with reimbursement for those levels of care. So all of that having to be factored in regarding moving forward with these levels of care and future level of care.
Supervisor Olson, you have a question?
Yes, Christy, this is Loris Olson. The subacute, first of all, kind of just a brief couple of words about how that would compare to the transitional. And then next is, why would you be looking at subacute? Is there not enough use for the transitional and the crisis?
From my research to this point, it's really looking like our transitional living program be communicating with the other, at least two of the three subacute programs in the state, that our TLC looks a whole lot like subacute.
Okay.
And that is a reimbursable service by the MCOs if and only we could get them to reimburse for it. So I think that's why we're entertaining that. And from our experience, we continue to really need that level of care, that TLC subacute level of care. The crisis level of care is a bit of a struggle. Also hearing that across the state, that crisis stabilization residential beds not necessarily taking off like DHS thought perhaps it might. So that's kind of.
Thank
you. This is Russell Wood. Can I add something into that for us?
Oh, sure.
As Christy said, I think what they're doing, because they serve, I think, a higher acuity level of individuals at their transitional living center, that services are very similar. And as Carla had pointed out, transitional living centers are not core services. Subacute, not only is it a core service, but it is a required service that we have to have in order to meet the requirements of Iowa Code and Administrative Rule on access centers. Even if we don't get Medicaid reimbursement for the subacute, if Mary Greeley were able to transition into subacute as opposed to TLC, we meet requirements under what the legislature and the Department of Human Services have set out for us. And I think it also puts us in the position of if things change in the future and we have to make cuts or changes in our service array, this is one of those services that we'll be able to keep. But at this point in time with Transitional Living Center, that is not a required service. So if we don't, and you've all been around long enough that you've heard the we're still sitting at where we were in 1996 for available funding, if we get to a position where we have to make cuts, this is not a core service. And if we can move it into subacute, we can still offer that. Subacute would work as either step down for individuals that come out of Mary Greeley. It would potentially work as a diversion for people who don't really need an inpatient level of care but need something a little more than just going back home. So it meets a lot of what we would see as a requirement. And like Christy said, I know I've said this a number of times, it really is very similar to what they're already doing. So moving it into that realm, I think, benefits everybody, and it benefits the, I guess, fiscal viability of the program.
Thank you. That was very helpful for me, and I hope others.
Any other questions for anyone? Then if not, and thank you for being on the call, Russell and Christy. That's helpful. And if there's nothing further, then I would entertain a motion for a lease renewal with Mary Green Medical Center effective 7/1/20 through 12/30/20.
So moved. I second.
Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Murphy? Aye. Motion carried. Thank you very much. And thank you, Carla, for all your work on this. And I did,
thank you.
And Carla, I did appreciate particularly you getting the information that other counties have done multi-year lease renewals without charging.
Sure, you bet.
Good perspective.
We'll work to get the lease extended to Mary Greeley, and then we'll put it on the consent agenda once it comes back.
That would be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on then, and we have item two under additional items.
Okay, then we'll move on.
Item 2, discussion and consideration of resolution 20-101. Fausch, I believe is how you pronounce it.
No, you've got to go back to 1. We've done number 1.
We did 1.
Yes, no. Is there number 2? Yeah.
2, discussion and consideration of resolution 20-101.
I must have an old.
Fausch Family Agricultural Subdivision. Okay. Do we have Amelia and Emily on the phone?
Yes. Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm happy to give a brief summary. It is an agricultural subdivision, simply reconfiguring 4 pieces of land to partition them off to family members that are part of a family farm trust. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those. This will not create development lots. It's really just a reconfiguration, but because there are so many divisions involved, a subdivision plat is required.
Any questions for Amelia?
I have none. I thought the report was very clear and why this was being done. It was just a family operation.
And it's surrounded by A1, I take it?
Yes.
Thank you. It's not only that this is A1, but the surrounding is all A1.
Okay.
Supervisor Hedges, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any additional questions. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. That was a nice brief report. And everything was clear. So I would entertain a motion for approval of resolution 20-101.
It's my turn. All right. I move that we approve resolution 20-101, the agricultural subdivision plat, Fausch Family Subdivision, as put forth in SUB 03-20.
Second.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now we have discussion and consideration of wording for a plaque acknowledging Story County's contribution towards construction of the Miracle Field and Inclusive Playground. And I did have, I've got the form for this. This is a contribution we gave earlier this year. And Supervisor Hedens had suggested inclusivity equals opportunity for all. I looked back at the form later and I found out, it's got 17 characters per line and 2 lines, which is 34, but it also says we will be flexible and work with you. And I thought we might be able to get a few more characters, and I wondered about us just doing opportunity for all on the first line and Story County Government on the second line. Is that, or if we have any other thoughts, since
I'm looking at it probably in a broader sense because it is an inclusive playground, mm-hmm. is what it is, but also recognizing that Story County did contribute a large amount of funds, towards the building of it. I think then after I was kind of re-looking at the letters, they're probably wanting some acknowledgement of the organization that contributed and didn't have that in the first place. So whether we want to, as you suggested, add Story County Government, if that's possible, or if it just be just Story County Government, I'm open.
So I did the count, and then I got the three members too, and I had opportunities for all. So opportunity or opportunities, it doesn't matter. Okay, opportunity for all on the first one. And I struggled with Story County Government, okay? Either just Story County, I thought. Everybody's going to know what the county is. Or you can say County of Story. That's very formal. Technically, that's our name. Mm-hmm. County of Story, comma, Iowa. And so the government part of it, I think, is why I would be more in favor of just saying Story County. Is that more inclusive in itself, recognizing all the taxpayers, okay? That, you know, yes, it's the government, we're the one who voted to give it out of property tax money. But Story County just is clear. I suspect the city of Ames, they'll just say city of Ames, that's their formal name, you know, and Ames City looks awkward. But so that's just my thought.
That's fine. That's going to suggest the Story County government, I think they'd be fine with Story County. And that opportunity for all hits 19 characters, for two more, and Story County would be smaller on the second line. You want to do that?
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Do you want to make a motion since you're sending a suggestion?
Sure. I'll make the motion that we, move forward with the plaque for the Miracle Field to say opportunity for all Story County.
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, Devin?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. It's approved. Okay. Then we will head on to our new item 4 here, which is housing study, and that would be Leanne Harder. Leanne, are you on the phone?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. This is the Technical Assistance Committee that we're talking about specifically?
Yes. For the housing? Yeah, the Technical Committee. I did provide to the board a listing of potential names following an earlier meeting this spring and direction from the board. I contacted Mayor Stroud, Story County, except for the City of Ames, to ask for potential appointees for the technical committee to help with the housing needs analysis assessment. The names I've received thus far are on and list down the memo. The missing communities of Kelly, McCallsburg, and Maxwell, I have reached out several times. I will continue to reach out, but at this point, seeking direction from the board because we really do need to get moving with this so it does not experience a substantial delay in the project. Are there questions?
Okay. So, when we first started discussing this, and you know, I put together a suggested list. On my suggested list, I had looked at this from the standpoint of putting on people who have had expertise, but were not closely connected with city government. Now that isn't a restriction we put on it, but that was my thought. Okay. So then, and I really kind of made a case for let's try and get one affordable housing advocate on the technical committee. So we then decided, well, we'll have Leanne reach out, you know, so and let everybody look at appointing, you know, nominating one person for appointment. And we ended up with this list in front of us has 3 mayors, 2 city managers, 2 city council members, 1 economic development chair of a city, but it's a private organization, 1 city clerk, 1 P&Z member from a city, and then another gentleman who is nominated by, I assume, the Economic Development Corporation, And he happens to be a banker, so that's good knowledge. He also, what I liked, he served on a lot of different committees, Steve McGill, but he also sits on the Board of Adjustment. So I'm wondering if that's a little bit of conflict. It's good. He's on his second or third term on the Board of Adjustment. He'd have heard lots of people wanting to come and have changes, right, related. But and that ties into housing sometimes. But then he's also, I believe, still sitting on the Board of Adjustment, is he not?
Yes.
Okay. So on this list, I understand these are who the city's immediately thought of. Certainly, it could be a workable list. I just want to know, it is very city government already organized. And because of that, I would like to nominate Hope Bethany. I haven't talked to her, but I believe she would serve. She works for YSS in the Transitional Living Housing Program. She has worked with affordable housing and the housing needs of YSS clients who are transitioning out of, like foster care, becoming adults. For years, she also is on the Story County Housing Trust Fund.
Spell her last name, please.
M-E-T-H-E-N-Y. E-N-Y. Matheny.
So that would, in addition
to these names,
that could be considered as being somebody nominated by the Story County supervisors, since
yes.
All the cities have had the opportunity.
Right.
Leanne, do you have any thoughts about that?
No, I think that's a good suggestion.
Okay. Supervisor Heddy, do you have any additional thoughts?
No, I guess my only other thought, since they are all, city or community focused, do we need someone else from kind of that, I think Laura has in there with Hope, has that kind of nonprofit, because, I'm thinking of folks that need that housing that might have a different perspective of some of the clients they work with, whether it's a disability population or a current homeless population or just someone who's underserved. Do we need someone maybe potentially from like a United Way or some other organization to also be on there who has that broader understanding of some of the folks in the community?
I like that suggestion, Lisa, and given the fact we know, United Way does offer several programs that certainly the financial counseling for women, and I can't remember it. Then there's the education program that Sandra and Linda are involved with. There's the Hunger and Homeless Coalition.
Right.
I think it's a great idea.
So whether it would be them or if they could give a recommendation of who else might be.
Right.
Might be a good.
Or one of their board members.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's a great idea. And then we've got 12, right?
Yeah, that would just be my thought, is just to make sure we're just not so city-focused or whatever, that we are just looking at that broader picture.
Okay. Leanne?
Yes.
Any problem with us also offering out a spot to United Way, whoever they would designate?
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
Again, I think it's a good suggestion.
Okay, good. So we've got one person and one aided to designate. So would entertain a motion to approve the technical committee for the housing study with the two additions that we have suggested.
Is it my turn? I think so, because I did the last one. Okay, got it. Sorry, I'm not doing correct. I would move the approval of the names on this list, subject to their agreement, plus Hope Matheny, plus a nominee to be selected by United Way.
I'll second.
Okay, further discussion?
I just want to note that just so that I kind of pegged all these people in their roles related to city government, but on the list we do have two of the people are real estate professionals. Two are small business owners. We've got someone who works at the university. We've got a retired person, among those city officials. So I think we have a good mix of voices here. And that's just the city affiliations were the first thing that I caught. Okay, thank you.
Okay, then, hearing no further discussion, Olson?
Aye.
Hedden.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Thank you, Liam.
Thank you.
Would you then reach out to United Way and to Hope Matheny?
I will.
Thank you. Then we'll go on to other reports. And first we have IKEA submitted a report. Barb Steinbach, are you on phone?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is there anything that you would like to highlight, point out?
Highlight, yes. Well, it seems like the IT world right now is focusing on the Zoom implementation. There's a lot to learn and a lot to teach and a lot of different aspects of it, but we've been working with several local experts and hope to have that ready for you. Did you still plan on maybe next week the board meeting would be a Zoom meeting?
Well, we certainly need to kick the tires and become comfortable with it because we have a public hearing the following week. So,
correct, yes. And I've been working with Margaret on that.
Okay, and I understand that you're going to be doing some more practicing later this week with that.
Yeah.
Ready for the board meeting. Is there a way, well, why don't you and I talk afterwards? Because I would like to know more about it before we use it for the supervisors meeting on Tuesday. And also, you'll have a staff member to help us go through the first few meetings?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
And also, I just wanted to point out that we have completed the animal control project. So they are on our network. They have access to all the shared drives, the email instead of webmail. And so that's pretty exciting for us. And they have the four-digit phone option. We don't have the phone installed yet, but that will be coming very soon.
Are there any questions for Barb about her report?
Hi, Barb. It's Laura Tolson. And the only struggle I had with it is that I was confused by the tenses. It wasn't clear what was being done and what had been done because some verbs are missing. I mean, it's difficult to look at this. So like software system, Zoom implementation and training, that wasn't clear if you had it done or if you were going to be doing it or if it was in the process there. I knew what was going on, but the public wouldn't know. So if we could get that clearer about, you know, what stage was done, you know, since it's a quarterly report, some of it you've already done, you know, and whatever. So that's the only thing I'd ask in the future.
Sure.
Okay.
I can do that.
Thank you.
Supervisor Hedden, do you have any questions?
Nothing additional. Thank you.
I have one. The unique visit chart that you put on here, April through June 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Why were the numbers so high for this?
County attorney. Yeah. And I can't answer that. I do know that the visits tend to fluctuate per time of year. So I'm not sure if this is people looking for trial activity and wondering, you know, when the court's going to be meeting again or if they were looking for something else. But yeah, I was surprised at that too, because usually around this time the treasurer is a lot higher, and then also the sheriff, you know, who's in jail kind of thing. So yeah, I was surprised at that, and we can't, you know, we can tell the hits, but we can't tell why they were there.
And the other thing is just above it. Yeah, I can understand that, but it's not typical.
Yeah.
You're saying it's an atypical number.
Yes, it is.
Above it, there are two story counties. What does that mean?
It depends on how the people are coming in. So, like, the first story county is if they actually click on story county itself. And the one above it is if they did a search and found story county and then clicked on it through another link. Yeah, we could. I think that would be a good idea. This PWIC, I'm not real happy with the way it gives us information. And when we do our website refresh, I'm going to see if we have some other options. It's not real clear, and what you're seeing is a really cleaned up version than what we get. So, yeah, it's not as good as it used to be. They used to have another product before we did the refresh that I really liked.
Okay.
good information.
What is the
refresh? It's nice to see.
Barbara Flores again. When is the refresh?
We are in year two. We just actually went live 2 years ago in May.
Wow.
So, the refresh is about a year away. We did have a website meeting last week just to kind of get people remembering that, oh, guess what, we've got a year. So I imagine in the next 6 months or so there will be some work getting started on the refresh.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I have none.
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And you're welcome.
We're looking forward to Zoom. So. Yeah. Okay. So then we will go on to other reports. And I want a discussion direction regarding House File 2512. Jerry Moore.
Good morning, Board. Jerry Moore.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Health Department. How are you doing? I'm here to give a brief update on House File 2512. It was signed by the governor June 1. And it unfortunately impacts three counties, planning and zoning commissioners, as well as the Board of Adjustment members, and also impacts all of the counties throughout the state. I'm just going to briefly touch on the components of this law that impacts the planning and zoning commission members and the Board of Adjustment members. Under this law, planning and zoning commissioners and Board of Adjustment members are required to be eligible electors and reside within the area regulated by the county zoning ordinance, and it goes into effect immediately, which was upon signing, which was June 1 of this year. And basically what this means is the planning and zoning commissioners and the Board of Adjustment members in Story County, those individuals who do not reside in the unincorporated area of this county are considered to be not in compliance with the law and can no longer serve in their capacity. So what that means for Story County is we lose four good members, three members on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and one member on the Board of Adjustment. We lose our chair, Marvin Smith, who has served for over 7 years. He has been a great communicator and facilitator of our meetings and provided a great deal of insight. We also lose Jonathan Sherwood, who's our vice chair. Jonathan had a planning degree, planning background, had really good questions for staff, and really worked to try to understand the request on the applicant side and what the impacts would be to the adjacent neighbors. We also lose Gina McAndrews on the Planning and Zoning Commission and Kelly Winfrey, Board of Adjustment. These are our two newest members. They were learning their roles, but also contributed greatly to our discussion. So, unfortunately, you know, we're going to miss them greatly. We have learned that there's some interest in education and training with the void that has been created with this law. And so we did reach out to the Iowa State Extension Office and learned that they are, in response to this law, planning to offer, starting in July, training. So every month, starting in July, to assist counties in responding to the losses that they're going to experience with this.
Well, that is
so. I would think that it would be virtual. We'll have to find out the details. We're told that the contact will provide additional information, but I'm thinking that it will likely be virtual. And so, you know, with this void, what we're asking, unfortunately, is to for some direction for county staff to proceed with that process to fill the vacancies for these positions. And I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Questions, Brian?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Jerry, thanks for your work and looking into this. I know you were kind of scrambling once it came out that the governor actually signed the bill. I think with the legislature having been 3 months not down in Des Moines, folks probably thought this was just kind of being had been forgotten about almost. I appreciate that you reached out and got information from ISAC and the county attorney's office in regards to the impact on this. I listened to the debate as well on it just to make sure that I was clear on kind of what the intent was. I mean, that's what I do in my spare time, so. especially when it's affecting our local government. Force of habit, but it's affecting our local government and how that runs. So it is very unfortunate, and it sounds like, you know, one thing that we're going to need to do is, you know, looking to get new members to serve on both of these boards, and hopefully in a shorter amount of time versus a longer amount of time, because I know that it's a big lift of the work that they do and needing the additional folks to participate. I also just want to make a comment that I do appreciate that Extension has put out for trainings so that folks can, they're going to have a quick learning curve if you've lost some of your seasoned individuals that have served on the board.
I agree that we will need to start to try and fill. We do have to post for 90 days, correct?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
We post for 90 days because we're looking at gender balance mm-hmm. issues. And when we have the luxury of posting for 90 days, that means that if we did not get qualified applicants to do a gender balance, mm-hmm. that we're okay in going ahead and appointing from the qualified applicants we do get. We are in the position right now, and it's usually harder to get women. We're in the position of three of our four continuing members on planning and zoning are female.
Mm-hmm.
And we do need another female on Board of Adjustment because there are two out of five there. But what we could do is post for 30 days.
Okay.
I think we need to get posting because what we're really looking at is a lot of issues that are coming up mm-hmm. that need the Planning and Zoning Commission in particular, and also Zoning Board of Adjustment, but Planning and Zoning needs to be able to keep operating. I think if we were to post for 30 days, and then if we had to extend that posting, we could do that, or we could repost, or we could start interviewing from the people we get in the first 30 days. I think we need to get moving.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Still, yes, sounds like we're going to be somewhat, hopefully, okay on gender balance. We worked hard
right
last year, and I worked hard at the end of the year before to try to get that. So my only thought, Jerry, comes to training, and it's good to know that ISU Extension is stepping forward and going to provide all that information that everyone's going to need to know to come up to speed quickly. I would also like us to look at having some training for the entire Planning and Zoning Commission on relationships about how between elected officials and how the commissioners are factored in to the elected officials and not factored in. So I think it would be a good refresher for all of the commission members to know, to understand process, to understand a little bit of the difficulty that does arise when they are appointed to a commission and they're representing on commission work but having an expectation about being able to speak like a private citizen. When we appoint people, we appoint them to represent us. And so I just think that kind of training, just a refresher for all of the PNC commission members to remind them. You know, who works for whom and the staff works for the Board of Supervisors, et cetera, so that we can clear up maybe before it goes any further. So, you know, and everybody's on the same page. So that's something that I would ask for you and Sandra to look at working with on. Okay.
So there are two issues that we have here. And the first one then is that we didn't talk about was do we accept resignations? Well, I don't think that people need to resign because they've effectively been, unfortunately, removed from the commission.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you said in your memo, Jared, that to acknowledge House File 2512, and I think that we've done that by discussing it. I would add that I have talked to all the members of the Planning and Zoning Commission in particular. I've not talked to the Board of Adjustment people, and I just did that because I've been on the Planning and Zoning Commission. I know several of them, and I know it was very much a shock to them. And a couple have indicated they would be willing to serve on other boards and commissions, which I thought was a good thing, so I passed a couple names on to Sandra for when we're recruiting for some other boards and commissions, and I think they are all excellent people, and we should consider them,
mm-hmm.
you know, for some other openings that we have coming. So I would say really what all we need to do is a direction to staff, and I would suggest if we're all in agreement with it that we direct Sandra to post the vacancies for Planning and Zoning and Board of Adjustment for that is effective as soon as she can for a 30-day period.
I agree.
That
agree.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Consistent. Okay. And Sandra, I know you've already been working on this in anticipation of needing to do this, so I appreciate that. Is there anything else, Jerry?
I don't have any additional information. We will find out as much as we can about the Iowa State Extension program and make sure that that information is available to the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Adjustment and the Board of Supervisors.
And I think with the other, you know, just the other concerns, how they fit within county government, and I think that, I don't know if Ethan Anderson's on the phone right now, but if he can find the time, I think if Ethan could do a session for the commission members, that could be very useful as well.
I agree with that, but you know, we're only asking for a session. We're not asking for Ethan to go to every planning and zoning commission meeting.
I was just saying yes, in order to be of assistance in
sure.
training. Okay. Anything else on that? If not, we'll move forward and do an update on cleanup and code enforcement action at Crestview Mobile Home Park on Lincoln Highway. Jerry?
Yes. Jerry Moore, Planning and Development. On June 2, Planning and Development staff did what we're reviewing as our last final site cleanup, site inspection of Crestview Mobile Home Park. It's at 5615 Lincoln Highway. It's actually three separate parcels owned by Grant Lemur and Lemur Land Holdings, LLC. Basically, what we were checking was the agreement that Mr. Lemur signed dated November 20, 2019, and it was a requirement to remove pallets of block material, scattered block, and then largely debris and salvage material, mostly in the northeast part of the property, the east property. And as of June 2, our view is that Mr. Lemur has met the intent of that November 20, 2019 letter that he signed and agreed to. We did upload some photos that we took from that site review. And you know, our department has been involved in working with Mr. Lindbergh since 2017. He has removed a lot of things, including mobile homes, semi-trucks, trailers, vehicles, storage sheds, debris throughout. And again, finally, we think he met the intent of removing the last few items that were addressed in that November 20, 2019 letter. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. But our position is that we've concluded our review and enforcement action based on the status of the property as of June 2.
Or any questions?
No. My comment is, first of all, thank you, Jerry, to you and your staff for working so effectively with Mr. Lemire, and your level-headedness throughout this process. I want to thank Mr. Lemire for getting it cleaned up and complying with the board. I know he faced some challenges, and I'm willing at this point to acknowledge those challenges. And I'm happy to see from the photos what the property looks like today. So thank you, everyone.
Okay. I would echo that. It's been a long process, and you've stuck your guns on it. Good work. So that's simply an update, not requiring any action from us. We appreciate it.
It's really an update. I would also like to thank Mr. Lemire for his responding to the cleanup. There was a lot of items there to address. Also, the assistance from our staff, the assistance from Ethan Anderson, County Attorney's Office, and then just the all of the other departments that worked on this issue or this matter, Environmental Health Department, Community Services, and the Board of Health and the Board of Supervisors, everyone who was involved in this matter. Just appreciate everything that was involved and everyone's involved.
Yeah, and the photos were really amazing. So the whole, yes, it's changed quite a bit there, and that was all good work. So, anything else?
That's it.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Board.
Upcoming agenda items. Anything of note?
I don't have one right at the moment. So, on June 14th, still anticipating bringing forward about the at least discussion, starting the discussion and a draft of the possibility of requiring facial coverings in the common areas. Lisa, did you want to give an update on the Board of Health?
I can, yes.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I think you meant June 16th.
Oh, sorry, June 16th, yeah.
Sorry.
14th is Sunday. So.
Oh, I'm not going to be here.
Yeah. So the Board of Health did meet last night, and the question was brought up about face coverings. Dr. Passion and other board members provided their input. One of the things they did talk about, wearing masks does help protect and slow the spread. But they also did talk about if you're moving to that direction, is that you do have an accommodation, an ADA accommodation, so make sure that is part of your consideration. They did also, it was actually a question that I asked on the mask sizes, if there is a difference for children. And I believe Dr. Passion said if you're under two, it's not necessarily recommended to wear because those little kiddos, one, it's harder for them to breathe and it's harder for them to stay on, for one. But then for other children, they generally have a pediatric size. But it also kind of depends. Some kids, or an age that I might still consider a kid, might wear the adult size. Mm-hmm. So that was just something that he did that was spoke about. And they did just in general talk about still continuing with the CDC guidelines as well. And still, besides the masks, just also emphasize the social distancing as part of it as well. Right. And so I was taking notes then as we were on, so I will type those up for everyone. And so. Okay. So thanks. So we received consensus that it was a reasonable public health danger. So.
And am I correct that the county attorney's office is working on the draft?
I sent something to them, so I have to ask Ethan about if they are making progress.
Yeah. That's correct. We got the questions and we're working on a response and advice for the board.
Okay.
So, Ethan, do you think that will be able to make it so that we'll be able to discuss this on June 16th, or will we have to push it back to the 23rd?
Well, we're doing our best.
Sure.
I hope to work on it some more this afternoon. I've been in training yesterday morning and this morning, kind of multitasking this morning.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But, yeah, we're doing our best to get it done by the end of the week here.
Sure. Okay, I appreciate that. I mean, my timing is based upon, you know, looking at what's coming forward in discussions, but we still would be good if on the 23rd, I think, from a timing standpoint, and at least with the court's part of it, if we decide to pass it, you know, go that direction, just to let you know. Okay?
Yeah, I hope to get it drafted for Tim to review this week, and then hopefully have it up by the end of the week. We'll see.
Okay.
We've made a time. I'll let you know if we can.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
So then we'll head on to public forum number 2. Comments from the public on items not on the agenda, and the board may not take any action on comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but we may do so in the future. Is there anybody who wants to make a comment during public forum number 2? I'll open public forum.
There's no one on text.
Hearing nobody, I will close the public forum, and we'll go on to item 20, liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors.
So I do have a question for you, Lynette. Did I just hear the CAFO meetings on the 23rd?
Yes.
At 6 p.m. Okay, I must have missed that.
23rd, Tuesday, 6 p.m.
Was
yes.
the agenda posted?
I don't know if the agenda's been posted yet.
Okay, I'll go back and all right.
No.
So, yeah, so this
we
is
set
the
that we set that date the last time we were talking with Margaret. We set the date.
Right,
and
quarterly
we,
report.
Yeah, and we set it so we could
thank you.
Figure out how we were going to provide public access to it.
Okay,
at time.
I missed no. the date.
Yeah.
That's where we were pushing for the Zoom. Right. Okay, super, thank you. So sorry. Thank you for that. Okay.
Okay. So do we have any liaison assignments, any meeting updates and announcements from the supervisors?
Well, I just gave you kind of the brief update on the Board of Health from our meeting last night. I do have on my schedule CCMT, our Joint Planning and Zoning, tomorrow. I have a booth meeting Thursday. The Statewide Justice Committee that I'm serving on that's coming up with kind of the draft to help the local. The meeting we were to have on Friday was canceled. There's another meeting today. I did let them know that I may not be able to participate because of our agenda, but I put forth my comments to the committee for their discussion. So, you know, I will provide whatever information I can receive from them after that meeting today. But I think their goal is to then get those draft guidelines out to the local security or courthouse security committee so that they can look through and see what is reasonable for your particular areas. These are just some guidelines for folks to be looking at so that they can begin opening up.
Okay. For update, I think the other update, there's two of note. One is that I have her, Dayton Pressinger, who handles the long-range transportation plan for the City of Ames, have reached out to me. I've not been able to get back to him to set up a meeting yet, but that I did bring up to the AAMPO about our desire to have some additional input in addition to the technical input that Darren Moon has provided. And so I will contact Damian and try to get with him this week.
Input on what?
Like the long range transportation plan of 2045.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the next time that the policy committee is meeting will be on July 14th. That's the AAMPO, so that'll be a 6 p.m. meeting at Ames City Hall before the regular Ames City Hall meeting. And this will be to review the public input that has been received via that virtual open house they had that we struggled to figure out how to complete the questionnaire on that, okay? And then they'll also be talking about the technical committee's review. So July 14th is a key date there, okay? And then she'll come back in August of 2020 again. So August then will be the next time that there'll be a meeting. I don't have a date for that yet. But just to let you know about that. Okay. This Thursday from 11:30 to 1 p.m., HRDA is hosting a virtual open house meeting That was originally scheduled and then canceled because of COVID-19. This one is going to be more narrow and focused. The invitation went out to manufacturing and health-related employers. Those are two that, when we consulted with the chamber, they are two that are still strong and in need of employees, in need of transportation for some of those employees. So this is going to be a smaller type of open house, but we still anticipate to have at least several participants as they have an exchange with the HRTA staff, KRMAT. The other things I've got coming up, the City Council is discussing the one-year extension of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. My plan right now is to listen in, just to, so we aren't caught by surprise. Wednesday, the same meetings that Lisa had talked about, and then Thursday, the HRTA, 6 p.m., the NAACP seminar on policing, 7 o'clock we have the jurisdictional meeting with the mayors. And then Friday morning I have at 7 a.m. I have the AEDC executive committee meeting. And then finally on Monday the 15th is when the planning committee for reopening the courts next week. So that's my next 7 days.
Okay. We'll be sitting in on Planning and Zoning Commission tomorrow for a discussion that we're having with them on the Urban Fringe Plan. I plan on doing both the meetings that Morris referred to on Thursday evening. I don't think we have any need for a special board meeting on Friday. Does anybody know of any agenda items for that? If not, let's say we're not planning on a meeting this Friday unless something comes up. And I did sit in the Conservation Board meeting last night. They reported that they are having, the parks are very busy. Things are going well in the opening. The vast majority of people are being very responsible and able to deal with the things that have come up. But I think what we're hearing is that, you know, people really want to get outside. We've had good weather. There aren't a lot of venues open or other things, so the parks have become very popular right now. And conservation is also moving ahead on various paving projects, bike trails, et cetera, this summer. So we're going to be providing more recreational opportunities to our residents at a time I think they're very much needed. That's all that I have. So next we have requests for a closed session. I would entertain a motion that we go into closed session pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.5 sub 1C.
So moved. Second.
Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Lincoln? Aye. Okay, I will end this call and we will go into closed session. It is still June 9th, 2020, and this is the Story County Board of Supervisors. We are returning to open session, and we are on agenda item 22, discussion and consideration of appeal in James W. Polensky and Teresa A. Shai Polensky as trustees of the Polensky 1998 Trust versus Story County Board of Adjustment. Ethan, did you just come on the phone?
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Okay, thank you. So, board, we are ready for any action. Does anybody have a motion?
I would move that we dismiss the remaining appeals as the case previously identified when the agenda item was read.
Second.
There's been a motion and a second to dismiss the remaining appeal as noted on our agenda. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none, Olson?
Aye.
Seddon?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Okay.
Thank you, Board.
Okay,
thank
anything
you.
Else, Ben? Okay.
Then I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Dozen?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you, Ethan. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.